Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is Monday, June 13th, 2022. I want to thank you for your belief and your trust in this platform. You know, I just want to start out by saying, you know, I had some communication with a good friend of mine, a good friend of the program, Alex Jones, this weekend. And, there's a lot of things. There are a lot of things happening right now. And I just want to tell everyone that just be on the lookout. Be very, very, just be on the lookout for false flag type activities that we saw. We've seen some false flag activities, but also be on the lookout for this. And I guess these two things are not related. I do want you to pray for Alex and pray for the success of his continued success of InfoWars. And I'll tell you what, you talk about a guy ahead of the curve, right? You do know he was really far ahead of the curve on all things that we're seeing today. Just like in my mind, just like Steve Quayle was the grandfather of the biblical side of things, Alex is was and is both of them current, the past and current tense, really the grandfather, the father of the current truth movement as it stands right now. And when I say truth movement, there's no pejorative in that. It is strictly a search of what really is going on. And what's going on is much bigger than people realize. And I'm realizing this even today more and more when I speak to people out in the wild, so to speak. People, you know, they're, look, folks, don't give up on talking to people. People are slowly waking up, but there are so many people still asleep. I had a conversation, multiple conversations this weekend, being out and about, doing some certain things that really have no clue about really what's going on. I spoke with a nurse. I'm not going to give any names. And this is a nurse who is active in patient care and is active in caring for patients of the coronavirus. I've seen a lot. And that conversation woke me up to just how programmed these individuals are, many of these individuals are. And I think it's our job, your job, if you're tuned into this, because people are looking for things to do. You're like, look, I am too. I want to know what I can do to better the field, to fertilize the field for my grandchildren. I've got just lovely grandchildren and great children too. We can't, you and I, we can't leave this mess and these falsehoods unattended. I mentioned false flags briefly. And I want to tell you, there will be false flags, but there are going to be real things taking place. Now, the show trials of January 6th, there will be fallout from that. There will be, this is my investigative suspicion based on everything I've investigated. You're going to have charges filed against at least one member of Congress. Mark this down. June 13th, 2022, there will be charges filed against at least one member of Congress, at least one. And that's being very conservative. There will be charges filed against former members of the Trump White House. And there have been, obviously, but they've been contempt charges. But I'm talking about charges that carry with it some very serious penalties, not contempt of congressional subpoenas or anything like that, but I'm talking about some serious, weighty charges. And that is designed, everything we're seeing today is designed to shut us up, or stated differently, to shut us down. Everything that we're seeing today, from the inflation that's at 8.3%+, you can throw another digit on there, and that would be more accurate as they adjust the CPI index to make it look a little bit less problematic, right? Fuel prices, I predict $6 national average by July 4th. Meanwhile, you've got Mr. Potato Head blaming oil companies for skyrocketing gas prices and inflation because, or as a consequence of that. Now, and then you have the, what we talked about a week ago Friday with Austin Brower about the diesel DEF fluid and the shenanigans there with that. If you haven't heard about that, go back to the show a week ago Friday, and I don't know what the day would have been, but you'll learn about that. And believe it or not, that was the first time I heard about it. And then I was getting emails, and I don't know what happened, but I've been getting emails and such from people saying, "Hey, did you hear about this?" And I just, yeah, we did. We spoke about it. So there is that. I am going to cite something. But you know what? Before I get into that, I want to hit a couple of important things. I believe, or I think things are important that we should keep an eye on. Watch what is taking place with the Supreme Court justices. Shut down DC, anti-life Democrats, pro-life activists face off outside SCOTUS. Now, there's a video in that. I'm not going to show it. There is no deliberate attempt to keep the Supreme Court members safe. That's by design. Now, of course, the congressional panels and such and Congress critters, they've got their security detail, but the security of the Supreme Court members, very interesting how that works. I'm not going to get into it for obvious reasons, but there's some concerns there. Watch what happens there. Not with the shutdown DC anti-life Democrat thing. No, not with that. I'm talking about in the larger sense. And watch for an increase in the Supreme Court, in addition to some changes. And again, watch the consequences as we continue as a society to ignore the January 6th hearings, largely. Watch what happens there. Also, watch what happens with the guns, the gun legislations, bills that are going to be passed or that are being drafted, I should say, as we speak. You know, the legislation that makes it illegal, for example, to take apart and reassemble your own weapon based on current or based on the proposed bills. And that has to do with the technicality with serial numbers. I'm not going to get into it, but it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. There will be additional fires and blackouts and supply chain disruptions here in the United States. All of these are by design. But these all stem, in my view, from 2016. 2016 changed everything. 2016 changed everything. When Hillary was not installed in the Oval Office, it changed everything. Now, I am going to get to that in a second here. I'm going to have John Moore join me here momentarily. But here's my message. And this I am paraphrasing from citing directly somebody that I have a lot of respect for in writing and in research, and that's Sundance from the pseudonym Sundance from Conservative Treehouse. And this connects to Neil Oliver. Going a little bit out of order there, Eric the Tech. By the way, Eric the Tech, how are you? Did you have a good weekend? You bailed me out this weekend again, yet again?
I did.
Yeah. I won't get into the details, but it's good to have a son-in-law.
You need to get yourself a truck.
Yeah, yeah. And with one of those cow pusher things on the front or ramrod bars on the front. But anyway, that's a whole different story. Here's my message, and this is citing an entry that has to do with what I'm going to show both John Moore and you folks by Neil Oliver. And this is kind of his message, which I echo. And the title of today, I believe that the title of this segment, my show or this show, this segment, this episode, is Forgiveness Is for the Next Generation. I'm citing from this, I'll link the actual article in HagmanReport.com in the show notes section. Think about the last few years. Think about what happened from 2020 onward. Think about the elections of November 3rd, what happened there with the presidential election. Think about even as we enter into the midterms, think about the use of the machines. Think about everything, but especially think about the time period where for really 2 years, the unelected bureaucrats shut everything down and they destroyed people. They killed people. They destroyed businesses. People were committing suicide and still are committing suicide. There have been massive drug overdoses. Think about all of that. Think about what they, the unelected bureaucrats, have caused. Whether we are talking about Anthony Fauci or Francis Collins or Rachel Walensky or some of the other Muppets inside the bureaucracies within the various administrations, whether it be the Trump administration or the Biden administration, think about what they did to you. I watched friends die from a bioweapon that was created and funded by Anthony Fauci. That to me is murder, and that pisses me off. I watched friends die in a hospital as they succumbed to the cure of remdesivir to treat the symptoms of this SARS-CoV-2 bioweapon. They are murderers. I don't give a damn if it's Fauci on his orders to the hospital administrator, to the doctor, to the nurses. They are murderers. They murdered my friends and your family. So to me, forgiveness is not for me. It is, I don't possess that capacity. Nor do I possess forgetfulness. We need to destroy those who carried out this abuse. That is a direct quote from the article. And I echo that sentiment. He writes, "Our parents were forced to die alone in isolation while we were forbidden from holding their hand or being with them." Do you remember that? I'm sure you do. Thousands never had the opportunity to say goodbye. Do you understand how bad that hurts? We know exactly what the covenant of marriage is all about, writes Sundance. And it has nothing to do with being forced to stand outside hospitals screaming in unbearable choking anguish while our wives and husbands and family members, I'm adding to this, of course, took their last breaths alone. You want forgiveness for that? Screw you. I don't even remotely possess that capacity, that capability. I refuse to give any coming to the right side credit to the vile, intolerant, hate-filled, and insane leftists, these uniparty maggots, who demanded that all totalitarian bullshit that they accepted, that now accept as futile nonsense. I don't care who is now apologizing. They should be shunned, they should be mocked, and they should be cast into the pit of irrelevance, or, again, I'm opining here and adding, or worse. These high-minded reach-across-the-aisle crew can continue bleeding philosophically about how much we must grow out our ranks by accepting the newly found recalcitrance of those who have carried out this nonsense. Baloney. Baloney, I say to that. You cannot continue to grant the benefit of doubt, grant the benefit to those who abuse us. That right Sundance is the epitome of battered conservative syndrome. And I totally agree. You know, he writes, and I'm going down here, prudent people, those slow to anger but resolute upon arrival, except that the leftists, the Democrats, the uniparty, the sellouts, the people who embrace this socialist, communist, satanic, if even, this lifestyle, this total authoritarian existence. They live for that. They breathe for that. That's their religion. They want us to accept them, or people want us to accept them, forgive them. They're toxic abusers intent on destroying the liberty and freedom of everything. The professional political left and the communist socialists, these mega bastards from Bill Gates, in my personal opinion, to even the people who are supposed to be helping us and would like nothing more than their victims to be comfortable forgiving them for openly hostile attacks within that dynamic. The abusers free to repeat the cycle, and make no mistake, they will repeat it, and they will repeat it, and they will repeat it. But actions have consequences. We are not fast to the sentiment of hate. We know the damage that sensibility can create within oneself. If you think about it, hate does destroy you, actually. However, eventually and reluctantly, decisions must be reached, and they will be reached. Those who perpetuated the last 2 years of hell need to be held to account. And unfortunately, this type of accountability is so severe in consequence, there can be no quarter provided or terms which might provide even the most remote possibility of a reoccurrence. We've got to shake them to the core, their grandchildren, generations of theirs for years to come will feel the effects of our wrath. It is uncomfortable to accept that our response needs to be of such severity that our children will be witness to a visible anger that they had no idea existed within us. And believe me, folks, it does. Writes Sundance, but witness they must if we are to ensure that these vile and intolerant creatures are destroyed forever. Let me give you, and I'm going to stop there. The entire, and of course I was opining during that, but citing much of that article. I'm going to go to this as a example, or Exhibit A and Exhibit B, and then John is with me, right? Is he with me? Okay, good. I want him to take a look at this, and then we're going to talk about this. And then John, of course, John Moore, thelibertyman.com, that's his website. We're going to get into some things. But I want the sentiment to be, at least from, I want everyone to know from my end, from this platform. After spending the weekend I spent in talking to the people I spoke to, and including heroes, in my view, trailblazers, Alex Jones, trailblazers, and to watch this bureaucratic machine destroy, absolutely crush people. That's not, no. And we are to forgive or put up with this, or yeah, you know, okay, give them quarter. No. So Exhibit A, let's go to page 2. You know, again, speaking with nurses, nothing happens by accident. And to witness the astounding, incredible lack of knowledge, lack of information. An article in the National Pulse revealed Dr. Fauci's recent $10 million monkeypox grant. Folks, the link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. This is not new. What is new is the reaction by people to, oh my gosh, look, we've got 200 cases of monkeypox. Well, do the research. Revealed. Fauci's recent $10 million monkeypox grant. Anthony Fauci's National Institutes of Health, that agency was funding research to identify treatments for monkeypox shortly before the virus began spreading in a global outbreak. Well, holy cow. Can you believe the absolute coincidence of this? Fauci's agency, NIAID, has previously come under scrutiny for funding bat coronavirus research. Hell, the healthcare worker I spoke to had no idea about the research, the bat research going on in Wuhan. I came right out and asked this person. I said, where did this come from, this bioweapon? What do you mean bioweapon? It came from that wet market. Folks, I just shook my head. And after I regained my composure, I was able to then explain. But you have to do this only with people who are willing to hear that explanation. But with this, Fauci funded this monkeypox, funded research into potential cures for monkeypox, which wasn't a friggin' problem. Hey, you know what? Let me call my furnace repairman right now and repair my furnace. Wait a second. There's nothing wrong with my furnace. And plus the summer, right? Oh, suddenly, there's something wrong. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so there's that. And you can read this article. It gets into the nitty-gritty of this, of the money. Follow the money, folks. Now, Exhibit 2 or Exhibit B, this would be, I think, page 1 of the show notes. Just to be clear that this is not a coincidence, that this is a conspiracy, and it's a criminal conspiracy. And going back to what I said, just to be clear, sorry, forgiveness is for the next generation. For me, it doesn't exist. I don't have that capacity, nor am I interested in having that capacity. Let's take a look at this. The NIH erased the webpage details. NIH erased webpage details, monkeypox vaccine bioterror research praised by Anthony Fauci. In other words, the NIH deleted a webpage from 2004. Yeah, this is new. Oh my gosh, 18 years ago. Seems like just yesterday. Detailing research into vaccine efficacy against monkeypox virus, which included Anthony Fauci praising, listen to this, the findings as important and referencing a potential bioterror threat involving smallpox. And here we are. But smallpox, folks, in this case, may be a bioterror weapon tweaked. But in its original form, do the research, it's not. It's not. Neil Oliver, I want to play this and set this up for John. Okay. No, in fact, let's bring John on right now because Neil Oliver gets into a lot of things. And, you know, John Moore, the LibertyMan.com, John Moore, the LibertyMan.com, with me on Mondays. He's talked about the injecticide. He's talked about the bioweapon. He's talked about a lot of things. Mike Adams has a great piece, by the way, on some of the blood clotting. John calls this a clot shot. And folks, if you haven't done so already, go to thelibertyman.com. Bookmark that website and support John. And listen to his radio program as well. And I don't mean to make him wait, but I just want to kind of set this up here. Because in the clip that I'd like John to see, and I'd like you folks to see, even if you've seen it, watch it again and listen to it again. People think that we are stupid. I mean, the question is, are we stupid or are we just being treated as if we're stupid? That's an important distinction. And Oliver goes into this, he starts out by saying that Spanish newspaper El Mundo and other news agencies. And I want you to really think about this. They reported last week that Jose Maria Fernandez Sousa Faro. Yeah, what a mouthful that is. Can you imagine? You want to write your name down here on the blocks here? Yeah. So, Jose Maria Fernandez Sousa Faro. President of the European pharmaceuticals giant PharmaMar was among 2,200 Spanish elites and celebs investigated by police for, are you ready for this? Allegedly paying thousands of euros to be injected with a saline solution, as opposed to the, quote, clot shot John's reference, or the injecticide. Now, let me ask you a question. You know what the question is. I'm not going to ask it, because you're too smart for that. With John's permission, or if you'd like, we can play Neil Oliver, but I don't want to make him wait any longer. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. I wanted you to join me for the first segment of this because I want to get your thoughts on things. I wanted to kind of take this to wherever you want to go, but I want to lay the groundwork because, John, I don't know about you, but forgiveness, look, as Christians, I get that, all right? I got good friends dead. From both the bioweapon as well as the alleged treatment by these doctors. I've seen so much misery and horror over the last 3 years perpetuated by these maggots. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I have no capacity to forgive. And right now, I personally am working on ways to hold them to account. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. John, what do you think?
Good to be here with you. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. I understand completely your lack of ability to forgive. When somebody commits a crime with knowledge and forethought, which is what we're talking about here at the highest levels, my capacity for forgiveness is limited to non-existent. As a criminal investigator, since 1973, I investigated my first homicide the fall of 1973. I worked with men and women who I refer to as evil in a pair of shoes. Their evil was limited to killing no more than two people. My first murder investigation, the defendant, he was a bona fide psychotic killer. In real life, they're quite rare in movies and TV shows and novels. There's a lot of them, but in real life, there's not that many genuine psychotic killers. My first client was, and I initially was ready to walk away from the assignment and ready to say, no, I can't do this. And you find another guy. The man I worked with, the public defender's office in Hillsboro, Missouri, they said, John, here's the deal. This young man, he was only, I think, 18 or 19 years old. If he gets a gold-plated defense and we lose, which we know we will lose because he's made a full confession, then he gets to spend the rest of his life where he can hurt nobody. And as in the what's called the Biggs Building in Missouri, where they keep the mentally insane who have committed crimes, and he'll stay there the rest of his life. And since 1973, this young man who's now an older gentleman is in fact locked up where he can hurt nobody. That was a good outcome. We didn't have capital punishment at the time in Missouri. Capital punishment is looked at as a relief for many men and women who are serving a life sentence. When they are put to death, the punishment ends. As long as they live, the punishment continues. That's the nature of being incarcerated in a not very nice place, as opposed to some of these federal lockups, which can be quite luxurious. Doug, I know the groundwork is being laid by well-qualified legal professionals to at least do civil lawsuits against these perpetrators. I don't know what attorney generals in various 50 states are doing the same thing. I hope that several are. It's not going to take more than two or three to have some results against Pfizer and Moderna and the others that have been responsible for all these. Literally, at this point, tens of thousands of men and women dying needless deaths because of the lockdowns, because of the treatments, in which you mentioned remdesivir, because of the lack of proper treatment, which includes hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. It's a complex matter. The litigation, both civil and criminal, will go on for 10 plus years, Doug.
I respect that, but John, let me ask you a question, okay? Because you spoke about your first client, and I think this is important for people to really kind of grasp. Because, I know the demographics of this show tends to favor the older segment of society. I mean, by older, I'm talking about above 40. However, there was a time, and John, at that time, you could be assured that you securing or a conviction being secured, one that could not be overturned or impeached in any fashion, would guarantee the fact that this person would receive justice. But we don't have that justice anymore. You've got people like Gascon in California. Now, of course, another one, his counterpart there, I think in San Francisco, is recalled. But nonetheless, you got London Breed going to name the successor until election day. But you've got this lack of any justice or account. You've got some accountability, very minimal, very basic, but lack of any justice, proper justice. Would that work today, brother? I mean,
there's some issues. My hometown, St. Louis, the current district attorney received funding from George Soros, and right. I believe that took place in 70 something jurisdictions where prosecuting attorneys, district attorneys. That would be compliant with the George Soros agenda, which is basically a communist agenda, would be carried out by the people who receive the funding. Now, there's more than 3,300 counties in the United States. George Soros did not provide funding for all 3,300, about 70, maybe 76 that we know of, which leaves the attorney generals of the states themselves. Now, quite frankly, I don't know, Doug, how many, if any, George Soros provided funding for. They're probably done in terms of doing what needs to be done to bring justice to Pfizer, Moderna, to the federal FDA, the CDC. But I think the various states with the state's attorney generals, I believe in my state, in Missouri, our attorney general will in fact go after the true culprits within Pfizer, Moderna, the FDA, the CDC, and so forth. That's what needs to happen. Our system is flawed. Our system has defects on one hand. On the other, I don't know that anybody can point out a better system anywhere on the planet, as flawed, as defective, as corrupt as what it is. I'm not aware of a better system. Our system can and should be self-correcting. On one hand. On the other, we need free and fair elections, which means paper ballots counted at the precinct. I know that movement's underway in some jurisdictions. It's not in others. The Democrats in California have figured out a way to win every election with the corruption that they've got in place in the state of California. Unfortunately, many other jurisdictions don't have that. In fact, most don't. If we have free and fair elections in 5 months, which is the first Tuesday of November, there will be a massive turnover of Democratic seats becoming genuine Republican seats, not rhino Republican seats, but genuine conservative Republican seats. The same thing with one-third the Senate is up for re-election. You may notice, Doug, that the anti-gun people have convinced 10 senators that are not up for re-election. Every election cycle, we've got one-third of the U.S. senators up for re-election. The ones they picked out to support the anti-gun legislation are not facing re-election for at least 2, and in some cases, 4 years.
Right. And Mitch McConnell, that bureaucratic maggot, has arranged this so the impact would be limited. In fact, I've got a photograph or a picture that I'll show the viewing audience here momentarily as you talk about this. But before we move on to that, did you get that? I said, yeah, okay. You know how you, going back, Folks, I want you to take a look at the screen here, okay? Justin Bieber came out this weekend. Going back to John, what you had said about the claw shot, about the the various adverse events from Pfizer to Moderna to whatever the FDA sponsored. Take a look at that. Justin Bieber came out, and of course he's got. Yeah, yeah, and so you and everyone else, and I would like to believe this platform. I think we've been vindicated, although people will say, well, you know, Justin Bieber, the whole thing was caused by shingles. Okay, well, you know what? You can only excuse these situations some of the time. Of course, Justin Bieber is pictured on the far right there, the fourth one in that image of four people suffering.
That's Justin Bieber, the entertainer?
Yes, yes.
Justin, he got the claw shot, and he has that neurological issue himself.
Yes, as well as his wife Haley was hospitalized for a micro brain clot. I think it was last month. Or look, I don't follow entertainment, but I do follow the trends going on with different things. But of course, the big thing, and the people who said, you know, people are saying, look. There's no, you know, correlation, causality, that kind of thing. We don't really know. And okay, maybe we don't, but statistically speaking, there's a whole lot of evidence, I would say much stronger than anecdotal, that we could probably use to build a case against these murderers and these people who are victimizing the population. Go ahead.
Well, Justin Bieber is I think he's a singer, I believe. He has an incredible following among young people, people under 40, if Justin Bieber would support a particular brand of running shoes or T-shirt or something, millions of young people would go out and buy exactly what he thought was a dandy T-shirt or pair of running shoes. Point being, if he went public and his wife went public about getting the clot shot, that enough was most likely motivation for several million young people to go ahead and get the clot shot themselves, just because this highly respected, I guess you'd say, well-publicized entertainer was getting it himself. Now, that's a very unfortunate circumstance.
Yeah, and just to be clear, I don't believe he came out with any definitive statement about what caused it. The condition.
I mean, getting the clot before he got the neurological problem. Did he go public with getting the clot shot? That's the question.
Yes, that we have documentation, and I think it's substantial. I think it can be authenticated. He received, I think, a total of three injections, as did his wife. And again, you know, for reasons whatever, but he now has Ramsey Hunt syndrome. And I should say this, and it's cited by the National Library of Medicine, of the NIH, you can look this up yourself. Ramsey Hunt syndrome following mRNA SARS-CoV-2 vaccine, okay? And it's published there, and it says, gee, you know what? Ramsey Hunt syndrome typically manifests with a vesicular rash on the concha and external auditory canal associated with peripheral facial paralysis. Okay, so it goes on to.
Well, his career is over.
Well,
if that can't be fixed,
right.
His career is toast. He's done.
Right, and you know, moreover, the lifestyle and careers come and go. But to do that for a human to do that to another human with knowledge and a forethought, as you had indicated, which is why I mean your analyses. Plural.
Well, Doug, I've been, you know, I travel in some unusual circles in my life and my career, and I've met some of these folks who are part of the elite, and they refer to all our members in the military, all of them, as animals. They do, with no respect whatsoever in men and women who serve the U.S. In any capacity, in Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, Space Force. They literally, this is not a figurative, they literally refer to all service members as animals. And in fact, Henry Kissinger, who's a U.S. Army veteran himself, refers to all service members as animals. That's the attitude, Doug. That's how they feel in their heart, in their soul, in their very being, which means they regard all of us. I refer to myself as a barefoot peasant here in the Ozarks. they refer to all of us as animals also. Unless you've got 7 digits in your banking account or more, you're just an animal to be used, to be made use of, to be disposed of when necessary. They could care less, Doug, about all of us barefoot peasants who do not have 7 digits in our bank account, Doug.
You know, I strive for 3. Okay, so at least keep 3 in there, 3 on to the left of the decimal point. But you know, it's so you're right, and again, this goes back to my point. You know, how long are we to allow this to continue? And that, to me, is really the question. We know what the facts are when we look at the situation. Again, not just one, not just like, for example, you know, the adverse reactions, but we look at the situation about how these individuals, whether they're in Davos or whether they're in Washington, how they are attempting to ruin, to kill us.
Well, I got an answer for you.
Go ahead.
Since you asked the question.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
Well, first, we like analogies to make points. If the Attorney General of Missouri learns that a group of men and women are in a building in downtown St. Louis and are manufacturing a biological weapon, the Attorney General would prepare paperwork to go to the governor to have the governor have the Missouri Highway Patrol to conduct a raid to seize everything there, the men, the women, the biological substance that they're manufacturing. That's the right and the responsibility and the duty of an attorney general and a governor.
In theory, but in practice today, not so much, but go on.
Well, that is the black letter law.
Right.
And for good reason.
Yes.
Now, the same attorney general and the same governor, if they found out that Pfizer was manufacturing with intent, and they have a facility in Chesterfield, Missouri, by the way, a St. Louis suburb. If they find out and have clear and convincing evidence that Pfizer is manufacturing a substance that causes harm, they have a duty and a responsibility to bring that to a halt immediately. Now, will they do it? I don't know. Can they do it? By black letter law, they have a duty and a responsibility to stop anything that is taking place, that's meant to harm and designed to harm and will cause harm to human beings.
Correct. But we see the influence of people like Soros with big checkbooks and Gates with big checkbooks and others influencing the elections, influencing the DAs. Okay, so the black letter law, they pee on the black letter law. They install AGs and the prosecutors or whatever it might be, manipulate elections, and all of a sudden black letter law becomes a gray letter law. And now we have teenagers who shoot others. You know, 17, 18 year old.
Well, let's address that a little bit.
Go ahead.
That's a major, major topic. Now, Doug, I was a young adult in 1969. I was 23 years old or so. The period 1969, 1970, when it came to healthcare, everything in all 50 states changed nationwide. And here's what happened. The mental health professionals came to a conclusion nationwide with their various conferences and papers being written, we can save hundreds of millions of dollars by doing the following. Instead of warehousing mentally ill people who are a threat to themselves and others, we're going to start giving them psychotropic drugs and release them into the public venue nationwide. That began in 1969, 1970, more than half a century ago. Prior to that, men and women who presented a threat to themselves and others, they were kept in places called insane asylums, mental health institutions, where they couldn't hurt anybody or themselves. Doug, before 1969, mass shootings were almost non-existent in this country. I say almost. The Texas Tower shooting was one of the exceptions in the early 60s.
Charles Whitman, yep.
Precisely. Almost non-existent. We've had more than half a century of that protocol failing without exception, except the big exception is Muslims. All the mass shooters in this country have had, they were patients of psychiatric professionals, and they had prescriptions for psychotropic drugs without exception. In 1968 and earlier, they would not have been allowed to walk freely among the rest of the population. They would have been kept in a place where they could not cause harm to themselves or others. Taking away, believing you can take away the method to cause harm is a fantasy. It's an absolute fantasy. Taking away any kind of firearm to prevent people who are a danger to themselves and others is a fantasy. And there's plenty of evidence of that. Look what happened in France, in Nice, France, where a mentally ill person stole a truck and drove it at high speed down a sidewalk and killed, what, 70, 80 people? No firearm was even present in that event.
Yeah.
Not a one. So, Doug, we've had half a century of doing what doesn't work. We had 150 years before that of doing what does work. You take people who are mentally ill and you lock them up where they can't hurt themselves or somebody else. That's what works. And that's the precedence that we need to go back to, Doug. And it would seem like if I can figure this out, I'm a 40-minute drive from the nearest red, yellow, and green traffic signal in an area of mostly rocks and trees and squirrels. Very few people. But if I know this in my remote location, how come the authorities can't figure this out, Doug?
You know, it's not that they can't. It's that this, to me, again, this goes back to my opening remarks. This goes back to, this is by design. This is intentional. You know, I remember in 2012.
Well, Doug, I need to interrupt you.
Go ahead. No, please.
You do not get a prescription for a psychotropic drug unless it's prescribed by a psychiatrist. A psychologist can't do that.
Correct.
It has to be a graduate of a medical school who's going on to become a psychiatrist.
Or, a medical doctor can, as well as a psychiatrist, to be
precisely.
Fair. Right.
Precisely, to be fair.
Yeah.
So, but look at what's the same, look at what's different.
Right.
That's what investigators do in many, if not most, investigations. Look at what's the same, look at what's different. Now, I like to look at Switzerland. About half the households in Switzerland have a healthy male between age 18 and 60.
Yeah.
That's about half the households.
Right.
Those households have a fully automatic machine gun with 500 rounds of ammunition in all those homes, which is about half the homes in Switzerland. Not a make-believe assault weapon, which is a semi-automatic AR-15, but a real assault weapon, which is a full automatic machine gun in half the homes in the country of Switzerland. So what's the same and what's different? Here's what's different. Switzerland locks up men and women who could cause harm to themselves and others. That's what's different. That's what we need to do.
Well,
if you want to look around the world and see what works and what doesn't work. We already know what we do doesn't work.
But what we did. See, I mean, back in the day, you stole another man's horse, they hung you right then and there, okay? That worked, and that's sure put the damper on horse thievery, but I digress. We know what works, but it's the implementation of what works, the refusal to implement, and then the brainwashing on top of that, in my view. By the way, John Moore, thelibertyman.com, you know, he mentioned about where he's at and such, but I want you to take advantage of something, too. He gives private consultations. It's well worth your time to look into. Go to thelibertyman.com and check that out. That's thelibertyman.com. The link is in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. I got to tell you, the guy's on target and on the ball and really knows what's going on. So if you've got some issues that you want to, tweak, fine-tune, get a consultation with John Moore, plus his products, his news articles and reports on his website, always prescient for what's going on today, as well as, again, support him by way of his products. And there you have it. That's thelibertyman.com. John, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to make sure people knew where to go with that.
Well, I appreciate that, Doug. And in fact, I'm doing a private consultation in a couple of hours this afternoon. Doug, and I'm a resident of Crawford County, Missouri. The county seat is Steelville, Missouri. I'm on a Republican Central Committee as a committeeman. In the courthouse in Steelville, Missouri, is a section of the rope used to hang a criminal who had not been convicted of a crime. He had been arrested. This took place. My great-grandfather was alive, by the way. He died only 7 years before I was, maybe 8 or 10 years before I was born, a Civil War veteran, by the way. And that section of rope used in a lynching, the citizens, the men, broke into the Crawford County Jail. They overcame the deputies, removed this man who had committed a crime. And the written story with that link of rope describes how there was evidence that this person who was lynched, this man who was lynched, actually did commit the murder. So we can't say these things took place within living memory, but they did take place, and they did happen, where all over the country, the enraged men of the community, if they were satisfied that a man committed a crime, they would overcome the deputies, break into the jail, remove the man, and hang him on the spot.
Yes.
That's what was done routinely in this country in the 19th century. Maybe early part of the 20th century, I don't know. Very possibly it was, because the culture hadn't changed that much before World War I.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can even, and you and I spoke about this before, and people really, folks, please understand history, because it is so relevant to today. But, you know, for example, last week, I believe it was last week, maybe the week before, last week, time flies, we had multiple state primaries, election primaries, and vote counting, and it blew my mind to see photographs, and you won't see this on the news, of election observers standing, you know, corralled away from the vote counters or tabulators. Okay, here we go again. You expect something different? Are you crazy? So I direct you to the Battle of Athens, Tennessee, 1946, August. It was a hot night. World War II veterans come back. John, you and I spoke about this, and found voter irregularity, ballot fixing, and same stuff. And they got pissed. They went down the armory, broke open the armory, got some guns, came back.
You're leaving out an important part of the story.
Go ahead.
The World War II vets, they ran their own candidates. They had their own ticket of candidates to take care of the corruption.
Yes.
And they had the popular support of the county. They knew that. And when it came time to count the ballots, they were prohibited from the courthouse where the ballot counting was taking place. Then and only then did they force their way into the National Guard armory, armed themselves with military weapons, and laid siege. They literally laid siege to the courthouse being defended by the deputies. I forget how many people were shot to death, but several were. The Tennessee State Patrol did not get there until the following morning, I don't believe, with communications the way they were back then.
Yeah, yeah. And I kind of chuckle at that, because I just wonder... There's really a rich story there. 76 years ago. There's a rich story built into that. You know, the response time, and
right. Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't know all those details, and I'm sure there's more and more books written about that, and I believe there's a movie done also. I think.
And folks, be careful which version of movies you watch or documentaries you watch on that, please.
But go ahead. Well, it's Hollywood. You got to keep that in mind. The Battle of Athens did happen. I was visiting a very dear friend in Memphis in the mid-80s, and the Sunday newspaper there in Memphis had a story about one of the men who participated in the Battle of Athens, a World War II Marine. At the time, I guess he would have been in his maybe early 60s, and he was going hunting wild pigs with a homemade spear. That's a tough guy. That's a real tough guy.
That would be Eric the Tech, but go ahead.
Yeah, because these wild pigs, they grow a tusks that are 4 to 5 inches long. They take a man's leg off. They could kill you. Regardless, that battle did happen. You know, I'm not advocating violence, but I am advocating that if you're a registered poll watcher, either at a polling place or at the ballot counting facility, you need to have unrestricted access to observing what's taking place, not being herded into a place where you can barely see what's going on. If you're that person, you're restricted, and you're a registered poll watcher, you need to call the local police or sheriff's department and have them come to the facility and make sure that you're allowed to observe what's going on. Now, locally, the county south of me here, Doug, is Dent, that's D-E-N-T, Delta Echo November Tango, Dent County. It's been several election cycles, maybe 4 or 5 election cycles ago. The counting was taking place in the courthouse when a county vehicle, a dump truck, hit the utility pole that provided electricity to the courthouse, knocking out electricity to the courthouse that night. The ballot counting continued under less than optimal conditions. Do you think something might have been going on a bit unusual there, Doug?
It was just unfortunate.
It was just an unfortunate coincidence that out of a couple of thousand utility poles, a county dump truck happened to hit the one and the only utility pole that provided electricity to the courthouse that night in Salem, Missouri.
but you know, okay, so you bring up a good point here. You're making some examples, and so I follow your lead.
I've seen this happen, Doug.
Okay, but here's my question, because this goes again to my opening remarks, which the integration here. I really want to get your take on this. So the multiple primaries that we saw, and we saw some corralling take place, and we saw, because we respond to your calls, Steve Bannon's calls, to get people in there. We have people in there, but you know what? They're ineffective because of the manner and method in which they're treated. So wait a second.
There has to be protocols put in place first. Typically, the poll watchers will be part of an organized group that can and should have legal representation.
If that would have been me there in that position, I would have kicked that gate down, okay, and walked over and said, no, I'm going to stand right friggin' here and do my job.
Here's what I would do. I would have legal representation in place. I would contact the watch commander of that polling place or that counting facility before, maybe the day before, to advise the watch commander of that day that my people are going to be there. They have a duty to carry out. I would inform the watch commander of the police department or the sheriff's department of what that duty and responsibility was, so that when the voting was taking place and the ballots were being counted, that the watch commander was already on alert, hoping, and well, not necessarily hoping, but waiting to be called if necessary, if there was any improper restriction, improper treatment of the poll watchers, so that he's got advance warning and the police or the sheriff's department can respond with knowledge of what's taking place and why.
But it didn't seem to happen this time.
I wasn't there.
Yeah,
personal experience. And in Doug, in 1994, I was in charge of security for the statewide Missouri anti-gambling campaign. That was all the spring, summer, and fall of 1994. Election day, November 1994, I was at two polling places in St. Louis City where for decades, it was no secret, more ballots came out than people walked in the door. It was not a secret. This polling place I was at with one of the poll watchers was the district of an alderman who was the father of the sitting mayor of St. Louis. The alderman walked in, saw the poll watchers, demanded that they leave. The poll watchers refused. The alderman called the police. The uniformed police showed up, They listened to the alderman. They talked to the poll watchers. They told the alderman to take a hike. That was a proper outcome of what can and should happen in any polling place where someone who thinks they're in a control and an authority attempts to prevent the poll watchers from doing their sworn obligation. These registered poll watchers have a sworn obligation to perform a duty. It's the police duty to stand up to that. And most police, most of the time, will do their duty, especially in these days of everything being documented with body cameras and recordings everything. Everything's recorded on 911 tape. Everything's recorded on body cams. The standards, we didn't have everybody on the planet with cell phones that take video in 1994. Almost everybody from kindergarten all up can do that now. So the police or the sheriff's department responding, they know that they have a responsibility that is being recorded permanently to do the right thing for the right reasons. So I have a very high respect for the police to do the right thing for the right reasons, especially when they know they're being recorded for posterity. Now, despite that, going back to the George Floyd matter, they can restrict and hold back critical evidence. George Floyd was the video of George Floyd being handcuffed in the squad car saying, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." That was held back for several weeks until many people had died and tens of millions of damage had been done nationwide, where this man was recorded dying of an overdose, sitting in the back of the squad car with nobody even touching him. If he had not, the police took him out of that squad car as a matter of courtesy and kindness for what they thought was probably a guy who had an issue with being in a confined space.
But you got to admit the optics on that. Look, I'm not, the optics looked very bad because I had this discussion with somebody here within the last week, all right, who was just adamant. That son of a cop that did that, you know.
No.
I get. Look, I understand.
If the police
that.
Have not been kind and considerate, they would have left him in the back of the car to die.
Right. Right. I mean, the outcome was death anyway. Regardless.
But the powers that be withheld the exculpatory evidence. I don't know how these guys got convicted at all.
Well, and that brings up another point. You know,
that video of him in the back of that squad car is what we call in our business, Doug, exculpatory evidence.
Absolutely.
George Floyd would have just died sitting right there with no other human being touching him. That's all that was necessary.
But when I tell people
claustrophobia, somebody's claustrophobia does the same thing George Floyd does when they're in a confined space.
Sure.
They say, "I can't breathe." Out of kindness and consideration for this man's well-being, they took him out of the place where they thought he had claustrophobia and placed him on the ground.
Right.
All that needed to happen was to show that video of him in the back of the car that day. It was available. It could have been shown. No nationwide riots. No people dying, because that would have changed that exculpatory evidence of him dying of an overdose, which is what was happening. He killed himself. He had enough dope in him to kill 2.5 healthy men.
Right.
Easily.
And I get the tolerance factor, folks. Don't send me emails about that. I get that. But you're talking beyond tolerance. Go ahead.
Way beyond tolerance.
Yeah.
Way beyond tolerance. I remember we have movie night in Daysville every Saturday night, and my pastor was sitting there next to me at movie night, and we'd watch, everybody in the country watched George Floyd die with a knee on the neck, which did not kill him. It can't kill anybody. We know that. In fact, there's a video at my website. I'm pretty still there. A Czech police martial arts instructor. He gets on the ground. He has a really big guy put all his weight on the man's neck. He can still talk with comfort and no discomfort. And the other instructor raises his other leg off the ground. His other two hands aren't supported. The entire body weight of this big guy, 200-pound martial arts instructor, is on the neck of the other martial arts instructor, and the martial arts instructor can talk without difficulty and no pain.
Exactly. And again, you make a good point. Look, I know the move is taught in law enforcement academies across the United States. And but you know, what we saw were the optics that were pushed by the complicit media. We saw the prosecutors, in my view, who are compromised by people like Soros and leftists. Despite the bad optics, this could have had a different outcome.
And, sure.
And that could be used, the Floyd, like you brought this up, that could be used as real, in my view, again, as the
that video
for
of Floyd
to
back that squad car was withheld for a reason.
Yes, of course.
It was withheld for a reason. The reason was to get the worst possible outcome nationwide, which they got.
And again, look, the same thing for these show trials of January 6th. The videos are how many videos for the January 6th, quote, insurrection have been withheld, have been edited, have been thousands, tens of thousands of hours of video were not shown, are not being shown. And they're hand cherry-picking these certain segments of video to show the American public, look how bad this was. And you know, they get these actors, and that, well, I'm not saying Hollywood actors, they get these actors to you know, be emotional on the scene in front of millions of, what, 20 million people watching this J6 sham thing. So you're right. You bring up a good point. Hold that thought just 1 minute here. I want to take care of some business because we've got to look, folks, as we carry on through the mess that we're in today. Of course, you saw, like, oh my goodness, the economy, the Asian stock markets were down, the cryptos crashed. I mean, what a mess. But a lot of things you can't control, but there's one thing you can control, and that is the interest you pay on your credit cards. I'm telling you right now, our good friends at Lightstream, look them up, lightstream.com/Hagman. Have you ever looked at your credit card statements and been shocked by the interest rate? Did you know you could actually roll all your credit card debt into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate? Well, you can lower your interest rate and save with a credit card consolidation loan right from lightstream.com/Hagman. Rates start at 5.73% APR. Did you hear me? That's a good rate right now. And you know what? It could be even lower, but rates start at 5.73% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. The rate's fixed, never going to go up over the life of the loan. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. No fees. Nope, they're not going to take any fees for doing this. You know, Lightstream believes that people with good credit, they deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. So just for the people listening to this broadcast, for you only... only you, only you. Okay, never mind, I won't sing. Just for my listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. Eric the Tech just was... okay, be quiet, Eric the Tech. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. I'm going to spell it out for you. It's LightStream, like Lightstream, just like it sounds. lightstream.com/Hagman. Remember, two ends on Hagman, subject to credit approval. Rates range from 5.73% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% autopay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman, two ends on Hagman, for more information. You'll thank me later. You'll be glad you did. Yeah, that's one thing we can control in our life is how much money we're wasting on high interest rate credit cards. My wife was in a store yesterday and they said, you want to open up a credit card? And she said, because you could save like $100 on your purchase, and the purchase is only like $110. Anyway, I mean, it's a low amount. And well, you know, what's the rate? And when you look at the rates, yeah, you want my firstborn too. So lightstream.com/Hagman, good people, just like John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Putting in some, just kind of leveling out the intellectual, what would you call it? The intellectual, raising the intellectual bar of this broadcast. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Make sure you visit his website on a daily basis. John, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Well, let's get back to the topic at hand. We got elections coming up in 5 months in November.
Yeah, yeah.
We got hundreds, possibly thousands of listeners who would like to become poll watchers. And and help these elections be free and fair. Poll workers also. In most jurisdictions, they have, with intent, they have Republican poll workers and Democratic poll workers to make it more fair. If you want to do that, and I encourage you to do that, be a poll worker, which is a paid position, be a poll watcher, which is a volunteer position. They both have responsibilities with them. You are employed as a volunteer. When I say employed, you're working as a volunteer to become a poll watcher. You're registered for that position with the county or the city where you're doing it. When you're a poll worker, you receive training. And you're paid for your duty that day, which is a long day. Typically, is 12 or more hours, sometimes 14 hours. You're paid and you're trained to make sure that everything is done properly. And if it's not, if you're a poll worker and you see something taking place that should not be taking place, your first duty is to report to the supervisor of that polling place. If they don't respond properly, then you call the police, because these are crimes taking place in front of you. If a poll worker is telling a voter how to vote, that's a crime. If there's something going on with these ballots that shouldn't be going on, that's a crime. And the police need to be informed. The police need to respond, and they need to arrest people and prepare reports for what this crime was involving the polling place. If you're a poll watcher, you will get instruction from whoever you're working with. It might be a Republican Party, might be whoever it could be. It could be some independent group. We'll train you as to how to properly watch the voting that's taking place, to make accurate observations and report back to whoever it is you volunteer to work with. There's all kinds of groups around the country that get involved in recruiting volunteers to be poll watchers, Doug. For our republic to survive, it's critical that in 5 months we have free and fair elections, that there be no mail-in ballots, that there be no Dominion voting machines, that we have independent, patriotic poll watchers at the polling places, independent, patriotic poll workers. When I say independent, they're not answering to anybody that they shouldn't be answering to at all the polling places nationwide. That's exactly what needs to happen, Doug. It's not over yet. The fat lady has not sung yet.
And that's why I love you. I love to bring you on, because I'm more kind of a reactionary kind of guy. And look, my wife knows it, and she always says, yeah, relax, you know, it's not over yet, like you say. Okay, we still have some maneuvering room here, but okay, so you do believe that this can be turned around then?
It has to.
Okay,
Doug, I've got my dog tags taped together that I wore in Vietnam hanging in my home, ready to put on if I need to.
Okay.
If I do that,
whose side are you going to be on? You put those on. Whose side are you going to be on?
I'm on the side of the Constitution. That's the side I'm on. I'm on the side of the Constitution. If I put them on, that means the political discourse is finished. I don't want to do that. I got better things to do with whatever life I've got left, which I'm thoroughly enjoying, by the way.
I can tell. I love the picture. But by the way, folks.
Well, yeah, I do.
I love the pictures.
But the Constitution comes first.
Of course.
If I put on we tape our dog tags together so they won't rattle and make noise, by the way. If I put them on, it's over. It's finished. Our republic, saving our republic at the ballot box is done. Saving it with force of arms is all that's left. I don't want to go there. I really don't. But that's what happened in 1776. A republic was created by force of arms.
Then let me expand on this topic and ask you a very, very specific question. Because, again, this weekend was enlightening for me in many respects, and I'm trying to give you, the listeners and viewers, kind of a little bit of insight. So what happens, John, when okay, what happens? Oh, I have to be very careful when I say this. And I would caution you in your answer to be very careful and as well. So we know that the truth tellers are under attack. The people who are taught, the very program that you do right now, that program that you do every single day that's being censored, that's being tamped down.
Well, I dropped YouTube for that reason, but okay. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, so, and folks, if you haven't listened to John Moore's radio show, I got to tell you, you've got to do it because that's mandatory show prep. Stephen Ben Noon and Dr. Artis were, I got a little bit of, I got an email. We can talk about that later, but what I'm saying is, what happens, John, when your program gets, when the plug gets pulled, when they come to take you away, charge you with crimes against the Constitution, in quotation marks, kind of like what they're doing and they will do with Alex Jones and Owen Schroyer and other people connected, and perhaps this platform and other platforms like it. What will you do? You're going to have to make a decision at that point, aren't you? And I know that's all hypothetical, but go ahead.
The decision is made beforehand, obviously. I have lots of Green Beret tricks. I am a combat veteran, and I've got skills. So anybody engages in criminal activity against me, they're a criminal. I know that. And I will treat criminals appropriately.
Even if it's under the color of law?
They can have whatever color of law they damn well please. If they're a criminal, they're a criminal.
And there he is. Okay.
And I will deal with criminals just like I would an enemy. Because if they're violating the U.S. Constitution, they're an enemy of the state. I know that. And I took an oath. When I took my oath, my initial oath, in January 1967, they did not say, oh, by the way, Private Moore, there's an expiration date on that oath you just took. That was never told to me. There is no expiration date for defending the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I will do so if it comes down to it. I prefer not to have to do that. I prefer to win at the ballot box. I prefer to win in courts. That's my preference. But if they push me to where I have no choice, well, that's it. I've got no choice.
There it is. And again, this goes back to the opening statement, too. I believe that we need to destroy those who carried out the abuses that we've undergone, especially over the last half decade, specifically over the last couple of years. And by destroy, I mean neuter them in their tracks. Now, again, war, we don't have to go out looking for it. It's going to come to our door. And that's something that I believe to be the case. John Moore, thelibertyman.com, folks, make sure you bookmark that and enjoy the pictures too, John, having fun. He does have fun in addition to raising the intellectual bar of the show and evening out the emotional part of things. Of which I'm known. All right, John, I mentioned Stephen Ben Noon and Dr. Artis. Again, I received a couple of emails, several, as a matter of fact, them getting together talking about different things. What's new in your world? Because we've got about 10 minutes left of the show.
I had dinner with Steve Ben Noon and his family a couple of weeks ago. It was great to see him in person again. But Steve's doing great work, and I encourage people. He's on my show on a regular basis, not as much as I would like. But his website's IsraeliNewsLive.org. We're tracking, and Steve has had a lot of input in this also, as well as Jeff Nyquist, what the communist Chinese are preparing to do, which is preparing to go to war. There's no two ways about it. The Chinese are preparing to invade the United States and possibly Taiwan. They're very likely going to bypass Taiwan because if they conquer the United States, Taiwan will fall in her lap like a ripe piece of fruit falling off a tree because they won't have their big brother to defend them. So we're carefully tracking that. Nyquist is doing a great job with his context, writing one or two new articles a week to bring us up to speed on what the Chinese are doing. The secret recording of 56 minutes that several men and women have already been executed because of their role in getting this secret recording out of high-level Chinese officials talking about loading up 957 cargo ships with the weapons of war, way more than they need to invade Taiwan. In the same recording, they talk about these cargo ships crossing the ocean.
The ro-ro boats. Doug, yeah.
The Taiwan Straits is not called the ocean by anybody in right. China. It's only 70 miles of open water. It's not called the ocean by people who live there, and especially people that are aware of cargo ships and navigation and naval matters. They don't call the Taiwan Straits the ocean. In the recording, they clearly talk about crossing the ocean with these cargo ships. We are the target, not Taiwan. We are the target for the final war, the war to end all wars. But once they beat the United States, nobody's left to beat. The whole planet's done. We are the last bastion of civility and the rule of law on the planet. And if we go down, the whole planet goes down.
And now I know you believe, look, I believe this, the recording, it's been authenticated. I believe in the plans. I believe that they're authentic. What is Justin Castro, Canada's role in this, do you believe? Because I can see this taking place, but I can't see it taking place without
the assistance. He's cut a deal. He okay. probably is the bastard son of Fidel Castro.
Yeah.
Most likely. That's kind of a side issue.
Yeah.
People like Trudeau, the governors of California, Washington State, Oregon, they think they've cut deals with the Communist Chinese. They believe that in their hearts. What's really going to happen is if and when the Chinese invade, these will be the first men arrested, lined up against the wall and shot. Because the Chinese, here's the thought process of the Communist Chinese. If these men would betray their own country, how can we trust them? So those deals are a slippery slope for all those men, and they should be. So Trudeau has cut the deal. Mexico has cut a deal. The Chinese and Russians are both in Mexico, heavy presence down there. Obviously, there'll be an invasion from Cuba as well, probably Venezuela. The top general in charge of logistics for the Russian army has been in Venezuela now for more than a year. Who's the first guys you sit in when it comes to military matters for your advanced, what's called advanced party? It's your logistical people. You have to provide housing, fresh water, food, electricity, sanitation facilities for all your troops coming in. That's a job of logistics. That's why the top Russian general for all logistics in the Russian army has been in Venezuela for more than a year, getting ready for that invasion force down there. So, Doug, I'm as ready as a normal human being can be for this invasion. There's not much I need to do, maybe sharpen my bayonet a little bit better, but there's not much I need to do. I'm taking a little bit further training in a couple of areas, making sure my team is ready to the best of our ability to deal with this.
Okay, well, let me ask this, because if you believe this scenario to be accurate, which I believe you believe it, and I believe that the presentation of facts, they're authentic. So, okay, what's this going to look like? Because I can't imagine, you know, a couple of billion Chinamen coming.
I'll tell you what, if I was Chinese general, here's what I would do. I would arrange for a law to be passed, let's say a high-capacity magazine ban that causes major civil disorder nationwide, major disorder. Mm-hmm. And, of course, much of that would be orchestrated by paid professional protesters who will go up to and include murdering U.S. congressmen and senators who voted in favor of this to cause maximum chaos. Not murdered by patriotic Americans, but murdered by paid professionals who commit murder on behalf of the George Soros crowd. Once the chaos and what appears to be civil war is bad enough, then the governor of California would say, it's so bad, we need United Nations help. Mm. The governors of Oregon and Washington State, the same thing. It's so bad, we need UN peacekeepers. The mayor of Chicago, we need UN peacekeepers. And the Chinese and the Russians would graciously come to help us in our time of need to be UN peacekeepers to come to our shores and help us in our time of need. They'll be invited in. And once they're here, they're not leaving. That's a great scenario and one that has a lot of viability, Doug. So we'll see.
Yeah. And you know, people poo-poo that.
If they're invited in and we got a communist in the Oval Office, he's not going to order the Marines to stop them.
No. And we've seen the governors, in fact, mayors even at that level in certain cities, especially on the left coast, dealing with the United Nations, actually corresponding or having dialogue with the United Nations. So you right. think
well,
that
we've had
so-
city officials in the city of Chicago ask for UN peacekeepers.
Right.
This is public record. It's not make-believe. This is public record that elected officials in the city of Chicago have already asked for UN peacekeepers.
Wow.
There's precedence for it, Doug.
Yeah, and I believe, John, I believe that we are so far down this hole of treachery, of treason. And I use that word very, very carefully, but we've seen it. I believe we've seen it. It's playing out right now through the January 6th hearings. The wrong way. The emphasis is on the wrong people, in my view, as well as the political prisoners and such. And now this. So you're watching that in the remaining 3 minutes, John. Go anywhere you want to go. Say anything you want to say.
Whoever is defending on the defense side in the Congress for these hearings, they need to make it really clear that President Trump was ready to activate the National Guard to protect the U.S. Capitol. And that request was turned down by the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. I don't need any more evidence. The president did the right thing, attempting to get enough manpower there to protect critical infrastructure, which would be the White House, the U.S. Congress, various structures around Washington, D.C. that need protection, which there's plenty of up and down Pennsylvania Avenue. So the president did the right thing to maintain the rule of law, to maintain order, and that was shut down by the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. There's other multiple citations of the FBI not informing the Capitol Police of what they knew would happen. That's not acceptable.
Nope.
That's absolutely not acceptable. So the evidence I've seen is very clear and convincing that the president did what should have been done to protect critical infrastructure, the U.S. Capitol, that the FBI did not do what they should have done, which was inform the Capitol Police of the intelligence they had of what was coming. It's also very clear that you can't have an insurrection unless you have a group with a mission statement, a group with a chain of command, a group with a mission statement to actually cause insurrection, which would be to take over the U.S. Congress and hold that U.S. Congress against the proper authorities.
Right, right.
That did not exist. In order to have a textbook insurrection take place, you have to have an organized group with a mission statement, a chain of command, and the ability to carry out that mission. That evidence hasn't been presented because it doesn't exist, Doug. It simply does not exist.
No, but if it doesn't exist, and you know this, if it did, of course, they would withhold the exculpatory, or they would hold the, I'm sorry, if it did exist, they would present it. As it doesn't, of course, they can invent it. But I digress. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. John, I'm going to thank you so much. You were so
welcome,
patient at
sir.
The beginning. And you know what? I think
if you notice, my technical assistant has made it so my face is no longer orange.
That's good. I like that. And you know, you're a good looking guy. So, hey, you know, I'm glad
Thank you, Doug. It's always a pleasure to be with you, sir. And I do enjoy the rest of the day, sir.
And you as well. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. I appreciate his patriotism. I appreciate his level of sensibility. But again, citing from Sundance Conservative Treehouse, those who perpetuated the last few years of hell need to be held to account. And unfortunately, this type of accountability needs and will be, in my view, so severe in consequence, there could be no quarter provided or terms which might provide even the most remote possibility of recurrence. And needs to be of such severity that our children will be witness to a visible anger they did not know their parents had. Good night, everyone.